You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the latest episode of Why Not Mint Money. I am your host, Jash Kriplani. Stock markets are seeing sharp correction amid growing tensions between Iran and Israel. In today's episode of Why Not Mint Money, we are joined by Vijay Kupa, who is the CEO of Incred Money, to tell us how investors can navigate through these bouts of market volatility.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi Vijay, welcome to the latest episode of Why Not Mint Money. It's really great to have you here. So Vijay, we'll get straight to the point. And my question to you today is that markets have corrected a lot. What should investors do from here on? What should be their game plan?
See, this recent event of the escalation of war between Iran and Israel has brought some volatility to market. But there are also a lot of other reasons that market is expected to remain volatile during this year. First, of course, is the general elections that are going to start next week in India, and we also have the US elections later in the year. So I think there are a lot of these geopolitical events in addition to the war. If you know, we are already in the midst of two wars right now. So Russia-Ukraine is also running. Israel-Hamas is also going on. So with global growth being quite strong and inflation being high, equity valuations are also reasonably high, and hence you can expect some kind of a correction because of these events. So one should not panic sale their investments during such moments as simply a knee-jerk reaction. In fact, I would say that a market correction presents a good opportunity for investors to increase their allocation to equities. In fact, if you study whenever there has been a war, and especially you can start with the Israel-Hamas conflict, Russia-Ukraine, Russia-Crimea that happened in 2014. So a lot of these that have all provided great buying opportunities for people to enter into. So over the longer term, any good dip that you get in the market is definitely a good opportunity for you to buy. That being said, users should also use this chance to diversify and follow asset allocation.
How should they go about asset allocation? How should they go about rebalancing their portfolio? Can you give some guideposts?
Yeah. So normally it's always good, and not just during such moments, but it's always good to have a diversified portfolio because you never know when the next war is around the corner, at what pocket will there be a sudden surprise. So having a good portfolio with different asset classes, so equity, debt, gold, some fixed income. So all of these, when you have, then you are well protected. Now the percentage of each asset class could determine based on your risk profile and your risk appetite. So you should invest in all these. For example, if you have seen gold price, recently gold has, it has gone up by about 15 to 16% this year. So it's also not just, investors who are diversifying. It's also central banks and a lot of institutional investors who are buying gold. So, in fact, this month it's 7%. So, it shows that diversification is good because you don't know which asset class will go up. And such events like war is definitely going to help such asset classes. So, one should always diversify, have some equity, have some fixed income in the form of a debt. It could be in the form of a bond. Have some deposits also, you could do that. And definitely have some gold. Now, within these asset classes, there are different instruments that you could invest. You could do via mutual funds, which is the best instrument for retail investors. You could buy direct ETFs or index funds ETFs or stocks directly. For gold, you could choose a sovereign gold bond, or you can buy a gold ETF or a gold fund. And for bonds, you could either put it in a debt mutual fund or you can buy corporate bonds directly.
And Vijay, what about India, especially wars such as the one that's happening right now in Middle East and now it's also becoming a new entrant?
So India's weakness is its dependence on oil. I think that's something that we have to live with for the foreseeable future. If you remember, the last time we had spoken was when the Israel-Hamas-Palestine conflict had broken out. And one of our potential warning signs was if Iran also enters the war, which unfortunately it has now. But on the ground, what we are seeing is that if you saw Iran recently fired drones on Israel, but there has been too much escalation beyond that. US also is playing a much more mature role right now and trying to de-escalate matters. So it's good. Now, for a country like India, because of our inflationary pressure, because of, import of crude oil, crude has crossed $90 a barrel. What is likely to happen is that maybe inflation will stay higher for a longer period of time. In fact, not just in India, but globally. What that implies is that, you know, this entire year there has been story of central banks cutting their interest rates. So everybody has been carefully watching when will the US Fed and Indian RBI cut the rates. Now with this incident, it looks less likely that they will do, because as long as crude price is higher and commodity prices are higher, inflation will remain higher. So one thing we can expect is lesser chance of a rate cut. If it escalates further, we can completely rule out a rate cut if inflation remains high. So I think that is the major implication for India. The second implication is actually less of it, because every time there's a war, market takes the immediate fall. But if you have seen, we are still in a war. Russia, Ukraine is still on, and markets briefly corrected, but they are back up. So I think for us, the biggest challenge is going to be inflationary pressures due to crude oil and crude escalation, which we'll have to see if it further escalates the actual war. And if it does, then the market implication is that rate hikes may not happen this year.
So Vijay, I wanted to ask you, what about mutual fund investors? What about SIP mutual fund investors? What about mutual fund investors that want to do lump sum investments right now?
So mutual fund SIP versus lump sum actually is, there is an opportunity for both investors. So normally all SIP investors should continue. These are very short-term blips in the market movement. It could also be because the market is quite high that people may be booking some profits now in order to not take too much loss later if the war escalates. But in general, SIP should always be on. In case there is a deep correction of, say, 10%, in fact, the correction is just a few percent. If it reaches 10% or beyond, which seems unlikely, but if it does happen, then you can use it as an opportunity to invest lump sum. But otherwise, you should just stick to your asset allocation and your plan. These kind of small ups and downs is all part of the market. Don't worry, continue with your SIPs without anybody.
We have seen wars in the past and we have seen how markets have reacted. But is this slightly different this time, because the fear of a larger regional conflict breaking out with a large player entering the war zone, and which was, like you rightly pointed out, one of the concerns when the Israel-Hamas conflict began?
Right. So yes, it is definitely Iran entering has put a different, more serious color to it. But I think in today's world, no one can afford a war. I think a lot of it is the bubbling of, or Israel claiming that Iran is secretly backing Hamas and Palestine. And it's also can be seen as Iran is as a retaliation to Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate in Syria. So it could also be knee-jerk. I think given that there are larger players involved, and in fact, Israel and US are also very closely involved in this fight, there is a chance of escalation, but I think saner voices will prevail, because if such large nations get into a war, it can become very serious. But as yet, I don't think that is the case, because right now, after one attack on each other, there is a bit of a calm. They are not really escalating it beyond a point. See, often for these countries, they also have their own internal domestic audience to cater to. So there is a need to retaliate in order to prove to your domestic citizens that you care about national security. But beyond that, I think at a geopolitical level, everybody understands that there is nobody a winner in this war. Life will become very difficult for the common citizens in the long term, whichever country that may be. So I think saner voices will prevail. It will remain a slightly more normal conflict and may not correct more than 10%. However, that being said, there is some risk that it could escalate into a major tension because of Iran and US involved. And the bigger player in the Saudi region is in the Middle East region is Saudi Arabia, who is also likely to join the war. That could be the next big risk that can happen. If that happens, then we are in for some trouble. But until then, I think investors should just stick. It's too early to... Because, see, if you think that it's going to become big and you book your investments away from equity, quite likely you may end up losing out on the upside. Especially that there are a lot of domestic events like Indian elections and then result season and all of it. And hence, it's better to more wait and watch rather than take any knee-jerk call right now.
Vijay, that was my next question. We have some domestic events coming up. How is Indian market looking from the domestic events, domestic sentiments point of view?
So we have this election starting from April 19th and going on until June 1st week when we'll get the results. So the market seemed to have priced in on a BJP-NDA victory. If the current government is re-elected, you could see a short rally, but not more than that. However, if there is a negative surprise, which is quite unlikely, then we'll see a big correction. That is one risk that we should keep in front of us, but very unlikely. I think market is now figuring out whether BJP NDA will be at 350 or 400. I think that is where it is. Broadly, I don't think it's an event. What we have to see is the earnings season. So the earnings season is just started now and will start and take shape over the next few months. I think that is also one more event for people to look forward to. So I think there are more important things domestically than abroad right now. But every time there is a correction or any event, people should take it as an opportunity to diversify into other investment opportunities like bonds, MLDs, fixed deposits, and so on. So always follow the good practice of diversifying your investments into multiple asset classes. Don't just wait for a war. When next time you do an SIP in equities, try to ensure you put a little amount into gold and fixed income as well.
Vijay, is it also a good idea that when you're investing in equities, when you're doing your SIPs, also maybe park part of that, maybe not much, but small percentage of that in liquid funds, because probably markets may or may not correct more. They may correct. That can be your buying opportunity to deploy some lump sum along with your SIPs. Is that a good strategy?
Yeah, that's a very good strategy to have it in liquid funds. See, when you do an SIP as well, right, as long as you do systematically, you are going to buy at every price. So it's also one way for you to get a price weighted average, because you'll do it if the market falls, you'll do it if the market goes up, it's always in your favor. I would say specifically, or more so, your idea is good for lump sum investors who typically time the market. For such investors, it's always good to keep it in liquid or in some place, because when you are waiting for a correction, you should have the liquidity and capital ready.
What I was saying was that the SIP investor continues their SIP. Say they are doing 10,000 or 12,000 or whatever, or maybe 20, 50, whatever. Maybe, part a small, say 2, 3% or 5% of that park in liquid. In case there is more dip, you deploy as lump sum as well, along with your SIP. So you even bring down the average price further for your unit.
Yes, you should definitely do that, It makes sense. So it's almost like a SIP in liquid.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Does that your SIP get SIP is getting accumulated and you are deploying it at a point in time where the market has corrected?
You can switch into a lump sum. You can do it very easily into the same fund house, or you can redeem and invest again. Yeah. Especially this year has a lot of events. So I'm expecting this year to be a volatile. Valuations are also reasonably high. So that's a great strategy for at least this calendar year.
Last but not the least, can you just sum up your advice for investors?
Yeah. So I think this current war has created some volatility in the market. However, at this moment, there is no need to panic. If you are continuing your SIPs and your asset allocation, you should do that. You should not look to book anything at this moment. We have some more events throughout the year. We have the Indian elections and the US elections, and US Fed and RBI looking for rate cuts. So we have a lot of these macro events that will also make the year volatile. However, the best way to navigate through entire this situation is to have a good asset allocation plan, diversify across different instruments like equity and fixed income and gold, and continue your SIPs and be opportunistic if the market falls much more than what we're expecting. So that is, if it falls 10% from current levels, then you should again use that opportunity to invest back into your mutual funds and equities to get a better price.
Thanks, Vijay. Thanks a lot for joining us today and sharing all those insights. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. If you liked this episode and would like to hear to more such interesting conversations, do log into our channel Why Not Mint Money on Spotify, where you'd always find me omnipresent. Also, if you have any new ideas or suggestions, you can DM me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @JashKriplani, that is JashKriplani. You can always reach out to us over the email. Our email ID is mintmoney@livemint.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.